when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, all you precious, precious, precious Blood River Radio family out there. We are here once again. We're going to kick some butt on the devil. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We have three five-star guests tonight, five-star recruits. How in the hell I was able to get them on this show, I'll never know, but I'll tell you how I did. It was divine intervention. God Almighty brought them to this show because we are trying to do God's work here. Listen, people, speaking of God's work, it is February the 26th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. And people, if you will, we're going to do a little bit different. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and I've got to read a couple of scriptures out of Psalms that meshes perfectly with what's going on today. So if you will, people, please bow your head. And I'm going to stand, people, as I say the prayer to show respect. Almighty Father, please look down upon us here at Blood River Radio, at Liberty News, all of our guests that are on tonight, all of our people listening to the show, all of our relatives, all of our precious kinfolks and friends with Liberty News, Blood River Radio, and all the people on this show, their kinfolks and friends. Lord, we are in a very dire straits here. We are, as you well know, it's not taking you by surprise. We're flirting with thermonuclear war worldwide. So, Lord, if you will, for the one request I have tonight is give us the wisdom and the courage and the discernment to do your will. Show us, oh God, how to fight this battle in your glory and give all the glory to Jesus Christ. It does not matter whether we win or not. All that matters is we obey you, Lord, as we always ride to the sound of the gunfire. Please allow us the honor to die fighting with our sword in our hands. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, I'm going to read a brief. I'm going to make this fast as I can. I think these Psalms fit perfectly. I haven't read scriptures in a long time, and we're going to go right to our people, and I'll tell you the outline for the show. This is Psalm 140, King David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischief in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Alder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have proposed to overthrow my goings. That means that they throw roadblocks in his path and to throw him, you know, throw him in a ditch. This is King James Version. The proud have hid a snare for me. In cords they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Gins means traps. That's traps, people. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, O Lord. As for the head of those that compass about me, let mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire in deep pits, and they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the wicked man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. People, I'm going to go over here and read four little verses from Psalm 139 that meshes perfectly with this, and I'm going to shut up. This is Psalm 139, starting at verse 19. I'm going to go down to verse 22. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Lord. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Grace be to God. That came straight from the King James Version, people. Now, people, I'm going to make a quick outline tonight. We've got the one and only Monica Braveheart Schaefer on tonight. She's my little sister. We have the one and only Fred Lutcher. You probably know him. If you want to see more about him, go to our website. I put scripture in. He was an engineer. He was with the Ernst Sundell defense team. Ernst Sundell had two trials for Holocaust and Lyle, et cetera, et cetera. Fred and Jim and some other people. Jürgen Neumann went to Europe. Look at the death camps, and they proved the death camps to be an utter failure. That's who we got on tonight. What we're going to do, I'm getting ready to leave. My part's about over with, but I got one more thing. I got to read these solutions. As soon as I read these quick solutions, it'll take me about 2 minutes. Miss Monica Schaefer is going to coordinate the show between Fred and Jim. We're going to do a quick recap of last week's hellstorm, because this is hellstorm month. They bombed Germany to the ground for a month during February the 45. And then we're also going to hit, we have an expert on here on what's going on in there between Russia and the Ukraine. You're going to really like what they're doing. People, we continue to try to call this stinking congressman up here from Georgia. His name is Buddy Carter. I called him yesterday. They hung up in my face. And I'll make this quick, because you need to call him and harass the hell out of that guy. I called his office in Washington, D.C. They said, well, he couldn't really respond to our call because he's off in Europe. I said, damnation. I said, isn't that just right? We got this little dinky congressman from Podunk, Georgia, and he's off somewhere in Europe probably being wine and dine when the whole damn world's getting ready to go up in flames, and we got these people down here in Georgia that have been lynched mob into prison. And they hung up on me. They said, well, you can't be using that violent language. And damn, I said, you mean you're up there up knee deep in pedophiles and Satan worshipers? You can't hear damn? Well, they hung up my face. Anyway, people, here's a list I made. Several people want solutions. One solution is you can call these congressmen. Personally, I think it would be a waste of time, but harass them anyway, if you want to. Here's what this is a quick notes I made about an hour ago, and I'm going to read this to you. It is obvious to all righteous, rational, mentally balanced, spiritually healthy people, citizens in the United States, that the criminally insane monsters have gained control of the apparatus we refer to as the federal government, that it is not a government at all, that it is a criminal cabal of the worst type, Satan worshipers, drug addicts, child rapists, all kinds of degenerates of the worst possible character, which is exactly what you would expect to see when you have a government that's being run by the sons of their father, the devil. The election was stolen. We know that. But it really made no difference. It really did not, because every single politician, representatives in Washington, D.C., senators, both on both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republicans, they're all in this union calling for perpetual war. And we all know who stirs up those wars, don't we, folks? It's the chosen ones. That they are all in unison on their watch. They're all together. All these people on the watch. On their watch, we're seeing record-breaking inflation that's never been seen in this country. Destruction of our borders with mass invasions of non-white, non-Christian hordes of Christ-hating, white-hating, these muddy, and some of them are coal black humanoids. They breed like rats. If you don't like that, sounds harsh, it's true. They breed like rats. They're overloading our welfare system that's being maintained by the poor working people of the United States that are working themselves to death. And I know my daughter's working 3 jobs. That's for God's sake, 7 days a week. Crime is at record levels. You can't even go out the damn street anywhere without being assaulted. There's murders here every day, 2 and 3 a day here in Memphis. It's nationwide. Whites are being persecuted in the courts, the government, the university system, the job markets. Blacks are slaughtering whites at record levels with total impunity from the law. total impunity from law. The infrastructure is crumbling. The highways are crumbling. The bridges are crumbling. The hospitals and schools are overloaded by these dusky whites, these cold blacks, humanoids. They're overloading all this infrastructure. I just told you they don't pay one damn cent of tax. We have critical race theory, which says hate whitey. Let's kill whitey and with impunity from the law. We have that being taught in our school system. We have the LGBT decadence, the perversions of worst kind you can imagine, being taught in the schools. It's being taught, and they control, these same people control the government, the universities, all the corporations, the media, Facebook, Hollywood, you name it. And people, my solution is, the only solution I know is either us or them. In the end, we have to remove every single one of those stinking perverts in Washington, D.C. We have to get rid of the congressmen. We have to get rid of the representatives. If we succeed from the union, do whatever it takes. We have to tear this government down and start anew with a new racist government run by Christian white people. And what we have the right from that is outlined in the Declaration of Independence. And people, that's my spiel for the night. And I got that all in before the break. When we come back from the break, you know what? That's your marching orders. That's what I said. That's what the Bombardier said. So when we come back, we're going to the break. Any second, we're going to go to Monica Schaefer, Fred Lucher, and Jim Rizzoli. And they're taking the rest of the show. My part is over. All I'm going to do with the rest of the show is bring these people in and out of the breaks. And thank God we have them. Thank God we have these people on this show to help you. Be right back after this break, people.
For Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear precious Blood River Radio family, thank you for coming in tonight. Thank you for listening to what I did the first segment. I'm proud I got all that in one segment, but my part for the night is pretty much over. Now we're going to do like we promised. We're going straight to our people. Go ahead, Miss Monica, Miss Brave. This is Miss Monica Schaefer, Miss Braveheart, my little sister. Go ahead, take it away, Miss Monica.
Thank you, Eddie, for that fantastic
rant in the first segment. It was really brilliant. You were on fire. And thank everything you. You said was just fantastic. Yeah, I'd just like to summarize very briefly last week's show, and I'll encourage people who didn't hear it, you can always listen at the archives of bloodriverradio.com and just put in go to the archives on that website, and you'll find, you know, February 19th, 2022 and hour one, hour two, it's all there. And I'd encourage you to, you know, send the links to those archives to your friends or to other people who need to hear these things. So that's my little commercial for, you know, you can hear, catch up on old shows. So we had Thomas Goodrich and Paul English on. Thomas Goodrich is the author of Hellstorm, and Paul English got involved with it because he did the audio book. He narrated that whole book in audio form. And so they were both our guests last week, and it was a riveting conversation with them to talk about what happened to Germany during and after World War II. And that is a story that they certainly don't teach us in school. Neither do they teach it to us here in you know, on our side of the ocean, nor do they teach the little German school children about that, what happened to them. They all were subjected, and we, as we were, to this quote-unquote re-education, which made Germany be the villain and everybody else was the good guys. They even go so far as to call that war the Good War. And millions and millions and millions of white people, like Christian people and predominantly white people, died in that war. It's like it's a brother war. White people killing white people. It should never have happened. So Thomas Goodrich and Paul English talked about what happened to the Germans. It's the other side of the story that we so rarely hear. For example, all the cities in Germany and towns that got firebombed with a deliberate policy of killing as many German civilians as possible. It was deliberate. It's not been done in war before, where the aim is to kill not just the soldiers but the civilians, the women and children. So that was during the war. That was bad enough, but for Germans, the war really got going after the open hostilities ended. The war didn't really end on May 8th, 1945. The Germans suffered millions more deaths afterwards. Deliberate. This was not just, you know, oh, it can't be helped because, you know, there's no resources. No, 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 no. They were starved. They were tortured. They were raped. Many millions were expelled from their former homelands of hundreds and hundreds of years where they had lived in, you know, former German territories, which then became parts of Poland, parts of Czechoslovakia, and they were forcibly expelled. So it was really a hell. It was a hellstorm. That title is very appropriate for what happened to the Germans. So yes, that's a recap of what we talked about last week. We're going to connect that to today's discussion. But of course, well, we like to connect the dots with things that are going on now. We like to do that all the time because really there's a common thread running through all these events. It's always the same perpetrators that are instigating the wars back then and the false flag operations and then this COVID scam and now the what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And it's always the same perpetrators who are instigating these things. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I'll just say about that, mainstream media, they keep drawing parallels between quote-unquote Nazi Germany. I don't like using that word, except they use it all the time. It's just a smear word against the Germans. And they keep drawing parallels between what's going on now in the Ukraine with Germany and Poland in 1939. And I say, oh, thank you very much, mainstream media. You've connected the dots. You've made the comparisons. Well, guess what? We know that we are being told nothing but lies about what actually happened in 1939 and throughout the war years back then. And you lied back then and you're lying now. And so that, by way of introducing the subject that way, I'm going to hand it over to Fred to talk a little bit about what's going on in Ukraine right now and what we don't know and what we're not being told in the mainstream media. Would you like to address that, Fred?
I sure would. We're not being told much of anything about what's going on in the Ukraine right now. But before the so-called invasion started, there was I'll use the word summit because that's what everybody understands. It was a summit summit meeting between Putin and the President of the United States. There was also a meeting between him. I don't mean they physically went there, but they did it on there in China. And most powers do this before they do something because they don't want to set off an atomic holocaust when somebody gets itchy, which might be very easy to do with Biden because he's so senile, he doesn't know which shoe goes on which foot. But the Russians kept saying, no, we're not going to invade, and then they finally went in. One thing you'll notice, that the media has been constantly banging them. Putin was banging them because it's again, something that they always, this is what NATO always does with Russia. But the issue here is that they're blaming Putin for killing civilians. They said he apparently fired a missile at a high rise and wiped out a lot of civilians in this apartment building. The following day, they reported something different, but the media didn't correct their statement. He didn't fire anything at the building. It was an airplane that was shot down. I guess it exploded and it hit the building. And they should have said, we want to correct what we said from yesterday. This situation was not a missile. It was an airplane that crashed into the building. But they didn't even correct their error because they don't want to correct their error. But at any rate, what we're looking at here, why did Putin go in? You have to do a little research, and you find out that there's a province called Donbass, D-O-N-B-A-S or D-O-N-B-A-S-S. There are three apparently warring factions there. There's a civil war going on in that one province or one state. Now, it's the responsibility of the president to clean that up, but they don't seem to care. But at any rate, of late, for the last 7 or 8 years, they've been killing ethnic Russians that live there. Part of that area belonged to Russia, and the people there are Russian. But at any rate, Putin decided to go in, and he's apparently not meeting any resistance. I heard somewhere that the government was issuing rifles and weapons to the civilians. Apparently, they took them away at some earlier point. But the civilians aren't opposing the Russian army. All the films I see, all the pictures, just show it looks like a Russian convoy driving down the street. And that's apparently what it is. There's very limited resistance. Most of the fighting was with the Air Force when the Russians neutralized the Air Force. I don't believe the military has really gotten involved in the fight. And I am sure that Putin is going to the Donbass area to solve the problem of the Russians being murdered. But the similarities here go back to Adolf Hitler and the Polish Corridor. He had the same situation there where they were murdering German civilians in areas in Poland they were doing much the same thing that the warring factions are doing in the Ukraine. But he went in, and of course that started World War III because they didn't tell the American people or anybody else on the planet why he went in. He just went for conquest. And that's what they're trying to make us think Putin is doing. And Putin's not going in for Congress. He's going in to relieve the situation and protect his own people, which he has every right to do.
Thank you, Fred. We have to go to a quick break. Come right back on that. When we come back, I'm going to make a quick comment. We'll go right back to Fred. Hang on, people.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The bloodshed continues in Ukraine as Russian forces slowly advance. President Vladimir Putin is asking the Ukrainian military to overthrow its government and telling Russian citizens that they are rescuing Ukrainians in danger. Social media in Russia has been slowed or stopped in order to aid the misinformation. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky said, "This might be the last time you see me alive." Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov would not comment when asked if they are targeting Zelensky. The Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. from Russia has confirmed they've destroyed a major dam, creating massive flood risk for thousands of people. Many countries are also deciding whether to remove Russia from SWIFT, which would sever many banking institutions there. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
There's been a global show of support for the people of Ukraine in Beirut, in Rome, and in New York City. This demonstrator came from that country.
This is not only about Ukraine, it's about everybody out there. Please help our families.
And even people in Russia turning out by the thousands to decry their country's invasion as emotional calls for protests grew on social media. Around 1,700 people in 54 Russian cities were detained. Almost 1,000 of them were in Moscow. Hundreds of posts came in on social media condemning Moscow's most aggressive actions since the 1979 invasion of Afghanistan. Vladimir Putin had called the attack a special military operation. This was a false claim that the U.S. had predicted would be a pretext for invasion. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. I've got a quick comment or two. People, I'd just like to let you know, Lee Cochran is doing well. I stayed at his house all night this past Monday. He came home from surgery. You know, I'm an old medic, an old trauma-trained nurse, and I stayed with him all night to make sure there was no excess bleeding, et cetera, et cetera. He's doing great. I'd like to mention something. The mainstream mentioned news said that Putin has been killing civilians. Let me tell you what, folks. This stinking outlaw terrorist apartheid state of Israel was built on oceans of blood. They kill thousands and thousands of Palestinians, both Christian and non-Christian. They're still doing it today. Every stinking day, these stinking Jews over there in Israel execute children. They firebomb them. They shoot them. It's a sport. They shoot them with rifles. And I'll tell you something else. You heard me read these solutions at the beginning of the hour. The United States is a crumbling maggot pile. I mean, you can't think of anything that's not wrong with this stinking United States. Our borders are totally non-existent. And when we got these pedophiles, these Satan-worshipping sodomites in Washington, D.C., are worried about the Ukrainian border, it's about damn time if we're going to have any troops going to any border. We put them down here on our own Mexican border, and we have another Operation Wetback, the only good thing Eisenhower ever did is round up all these illegals, these Mexicans and other places come from God only knows where, and send their butt back to hell where they came from. Back to you, Fred.
Okay. One more thing I wanted to comment on is, you know, a lot of people in the United States that seem to think that the United States should be the world's policeman. And these people are probably going to say we need to send in troops to relieve the problem that Putin has caused. But what they don't seem to think about is the fact that, first, we're not the world's policemen. We should no longer be killing our children and wasting our own resources on these wars that the Jews start and expect us to fight. But on top of that, I just want to point back, we have done this before, and nobody thinks anything of it. I believe it was in Grenada. There was a number of years ago when President Reagan was the president. There was a medical school. There was some type of a revolution going on down there. And we sent our Marines in to rescue the students and get them out of Grenada and whoever else was there that wanted to come. And we had to fight our way through whatever it was there, the revolutionaries that opposed us, but we fought our way in, and then we took the people that were in there out. Nobody thought anything of it. It's fine for us to go in and rescue Americans, but it should be fine for Putin to go in and rescue Russians. It was certainly fine for Hitler to go in and rescue Germans, but that wasn't the case. Churchill started a war. So people have to understand that it isn't all one-sided, and they have to look at the parallels and see what's happened. We do it, it's all right, but when Putin does it, it isn't all right, and that's not true, and we don't belong interfering in the Ukraine. Putin had his meetings with Biden and the Chinese. That's why nobody's taken any action yet. The leaders of any country, when they do something, they clear it with the opposing powers so they understand we're only doing a certain thing. That doesn't affect you, so don't get all hot and bothered over it. But nevertheless, as I say, that's the situation. There are parallels here, and the people in the United States have to stop and realize that other people need to be protected as well as Americans. I'll kick that back to Monica then.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. I think that probably the most important thing that people have to realize and understand is that somebody is pulling all the strings behind the scenes, and it's those who are the self-chosenites, right? That's who instigated World War I, World War II. They pulled all the strings. They benefited from those conflicts. And I think it was 1859, Rabbi Reichshorn, he said that wars are the Jews' harvest. And I don't have the quote in front of me. I'm saying this by memory, so I don't have it word for word. But he said, wars are the Jews' harvest. And we have already killed, or they have killed each other, 100 million of them. And we're only just beginning. And then he went on about how, you know, they're going to fuel some more wars where the Christians kill each other, or, you know, the Goyim kill each other, the Gentiles kill each other. Those were his words, and they instigate these things with all their behind the scenes pulling of the strings. And right now they are in control of the mainstream media, pretty much all of it. And it, you know, the internet has been a game changer, but they are really deadly afraid of all this information that we are spreading via these kind of sites and this kind of a radio station. Thank you very much, Eddie, for, you know, doing this. And we just need to wake up enough people that we resist this. We are many, they are few. We have to remember that. We should not give up hope that, oh, well, they've got it, you know, they've got all the power in their hands. No, they don't. That's why they're so afraid. That's why they crack down so hard on truth tellers. That's why they censor so hard, because they are so afraid of the truth getting out. But why I'm saying all this is because everything they're telling us right now about what's going on in the Ukraine, everything they're telling us in the mainstream media about it is lies. It's meant to manipulate us. They want us, you know, entering that war. And it's, yeah, it, we have to just understand that. And it's the same thing as during and before, during and after World War One and World War Two. So with those comments, I don't know if Jim Rizzoli is on the line, if we want to bring him in too.
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Do you want to help us connect some of those dots? That's what we like to do, Jim. And, talk about our favorite subject, World War II, the Holo-Hoax, how that all ties into all of this. And it does. You know, people might think, well, wait a minute, that's jumping into a different subject. I don't think it is. They were very successful with that lie, and that's what has kept us sort of under their spell. And I'm talking about under the Jewish spell. And so it does tie into everything. But I'll hand it over to you, Jim. Go ahead.
I just want to make a couple of comments I saw in the news today. Always look at a crisis to how it ends up. All right? That's how you have to look at it. Forget about what happened in the beginning. And so I see in the news today that they're talking about, the United States is talking about sending over $350 million. Okay, so now we're starting to get to see what's going on here. Now, who's that money going to go to? Okay, obviously it's going to go to the Ukrainian people. But what Ukrainian people? Is it going to go to the people that we want it to go to? Okay, then I hear another comment saying that, oh, no, there's going to be a lot of refugees now that are going to be coming to America from the Ukraine. And then I heard another comment saying, a lot of these refugees are Jews. I said, whoa, that's interesting. So here's how I'm putting it together. It seems like this whole, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, because I don't know who to trust, what information is true. So I'm just going by the information I have and trying to, you know, connect those dots. And so now I'm saying, okay, the United States is sending $350 million over there, and then there's going to be a bunch of refugees. But those refugees aren't indigenous Ukrainians, they're Jews. The Jewish refugees from Ukraine, and they're going to come over to the United States. So isn't this convenient? So was this the whole ploy just to get those Jews from the Ukraine to come over to the United States by making it look like Putin wants to have a war with the Ukraine? I'm just drawing this out. It's just kind of weird that, you know, why would these Jews, refugees, you know, from the Ukraine, if they are Jews, they're coming over here. Isn't that convenient? So anyway, I just thought that was a crazy thing going on there, because we have no business throwing $350 million over there, especially not knowing who that money's going to benefit. And are that's my beef with that.
Are they Jews?
I have a comment. I was just going to make a comment. Let me ask you this question, Jim. Could this be... Hitler had the transfer agreement with the international Jewry back in 1939. Could this be? Could Putin be having a transfer agreement to get Hitler wanted to get rid of his Jews? Does Putin want to get rid of his stinking Jews? Back to y'all. That's just a quick comment.
Yeah, my question of you was: Are these Jews, or are they infiltrators?
Obviously, well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Jews.
Whoever they are, I just saw something that said that there were Jews coming over here. So
right.
whatever they
Folks,
are.
We got to go to a quick break. We have to go to a quick break. We'll be right back after this break, people.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people." Unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
The Beam is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, deep Blood River Radio family, we're coming right back. I just got, hey, what about, I'm going to guard this frame this compliment I got from Brother Rich. He's usually our fact checker. He said he thinks it's the most insightful thing he's ever heard me say about Putin's transfer agreement. But anyway, you people, I got to say another comment before we want Jim to plug his site. His great, great information. Worldwide Jews, they hate, they despise Russians. They despise Ukrainians. They killed Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You heard me talk about him. Alexander Solzhenitsyn says 66 million white people, our white brothers and sisters, were murdered, worked to death, tortured, shot from 1918, probably the 1950s. They hate Ukrainians. They starve the Ukrainians to death. The Jewish run Cheka. And that's right. 100% run Jewish Cheka. Starve those Ukrainians to death. So never forget. They hate Christians. They hate white people. Their ultimate goal, the Jews' ultimate goal, is to exterminate every white person on the face of the earth. That's right. And last comment, yes, Jews have been flying Jews out of Ukraine now for at least 3 weeks. So that's what I think. And I'll go ahead and say that again. Anyway, I'm just getting kind of sidetracked. I'm getting full of myself. Go ahead. Back to you, Jim.
All right. Well, again, I just thought that was an interesting story because you'll notice something about the Jews. Every crisis ends up benefiting them. Okay. So, it's amazing how every crisis that's ever happened, they're in there somewhere. All right. So, again, I don't know if, Eddie, you made a good point about a lot of the Jews are being sent out of there. Well, how's the money coming in to do that? Who's paying for that? Okay. Well, all of a sudden Biden comes up with $350 million. You don't think that was planned? Okay. So I think the whole thing had to do with them in the first place. And the whole thing is just a scam just to get them out of there by using a false front or false war situation to do that. So that's just my opinion. It always benefits the Jews.
Yeah. On that note, Jim, who was it? Bibi Netanyahu, didn't he say 9/11 was good for Israel? He said that. That's on the record. So, yeah, every crisis is good for them.
Of course he did. He caused it.
Yeah, of course. But he actually said that. Yeah, it's good for Israel. Oh, I mean, it. he sort of tried to take it back, but it was out. He couldn't get it back in. Well, they instigate these things, and so, of course, it's good. The Jews do what's good for the Jews, and you're right about, Eddie, you're right about the hatred they have for non-Jews. They pretend to be our friends, but really, behind it all, they hate us. I think their holy book basically spells that out, how much they hate us. So their holy books, the Talmud. I mean, it has all kinds of, you know, bad stuff to do to us right in the Talmud. It's their laws. You know, people say to me sometimes, look, Monica, there's bad people in every group of people. There's good people and bad in every group. Well, I say, okay, that might be so, but their holy book tells them to be bad, whereas our holy book does not tell us to be bad. And our moral, we have a moral compass that tells us to be good. So you might have the odd person that steps out of that and is bad. I'm not saying every Gentile is an angel and is good and never misbehaves. No, but our rule book, our morals, our ethics are for us to be good, not to harm others. You know, the common law principles, do no harm. Whereas for them, it's not like that. They're holy books. Their law actually tells them to be, do what's good for the Jew, but not for the non-Jew. They are a parasitic race. And you could look at that from a biological perspective. The parasite that basically leeches its energy, its whatever, its life force from the host. And we are the host population. Now, when they kill us, they don't have a host anymore. So they're actually killing themselves then too, because they are a parasite and they can't live basically on their own steam. So it's kind of stupid, really. But they are destructive. We have to recognize that. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. And I think people are waking up to it. Now, Fred, you had an interesting comment. I think it was during the commercial break. Why don't you say that, what you were talking about?
I'm saying up until and somewhat after World War II, people were talking about the people who profit from the wars. And they are the bankers that finance the wars. And they are the munitions manufacturers. But there's something else here that I wanted to point up and clarify and put a magnifying glass on something you said. The people up to that time, except some of the people in the know, the writers, the academicians that understood what was going on, most people didn't talk about the Jews. Most people talked about the munitions manufacturers and the bankers. But in the last 10 years, more people, since 9/11, more of the common people are starting to recognize the fact that, yeah, they are bankers. Yeah, they are munitions manufacturers, but they're Jews. Let's take this clothing that they're wearing, that they're hiding in. Never mind. Take the banker's shirt off them. Never mind. Take the munitions manufacturer's shirt off them and point them out for what they are. Jews, and a lot of people today are realizing this. I don't hear anybody saying the munition manufacturers anymore. The average person is starting to learn, and he's saying Jew.
I think and probably. Go ahead, sorry.
No, all I was saying is I think you were pointing that out, but I'm not sure you understood what I said in the first place, but
yeah.
I just want to put a magnifying glass. It's new. It's new that the average person, people are getting smart.
Yeah, I think now they are, because of this COVID terror regime that's been foisted on us. This has really done a lot to wake the people up, because it's the boot across the neck that Yuri Betsmanov spoke of back in the 80s when he was talking about, you know, you can lead the people by the hand and show them all the facts and show them physically all the facts. And if they've been, you know, demoralized and for as long as they have, which is the case now, they won't believe it until the boot is across the neck. And that COVID terror regime, that's the boot that's waking people up. I guess what I was saying during the commercial break is that I think in general in the past, and I'm not just talking about 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I'm talking about 100 years ago. I think, I don't know this for sure, but it seems to me that the people in general were more aware of the Jewish problem, I guess you could say, you know, the whole idea that Jews are, you know, the ones who subvert and come in and destroy and whatnot. But, you know, I might be wrong on that. It's just that we've been so dumbed down since after World War II, and we've been, quote unquote, re-educated on that that to hide this Jewish, you know, they veil themselves. And, you know, they literally do change their names more than any other group of people that I could think of on the face of this earth. And why do they do that? Why do they change their names all the time? Well, they're trying to hide that they're Jewish, you know. So that's, I think.
I think you're right about the people 100 years ago, because the Jews didn't control the media then.
Not to the extent that they do now. Yeah, not to the extent that...
A lot of the newspapers had just started up, at least in this country. Until 1910, there were no radio stations. And even though that they were involved with radio in the beginning, with Sarnoff at RCA, they didn't yet know how to utilize this to suppress the truth. But they learned very fast.
Right.
Yeah, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which that was, what, 1895? Or so already in there, they say that they just about had, you know, most of the major media in their hands already. And, you know, so that I find really interesting. But I think you're right. They certainly didn't own and control it to the extent that they do now. But like I said before, the internet is a game changer. It is really a very important part of this. Why are so many people, you know, how we've been able to learn all this?
Well, but on the other side, Monica, they have censored everything now. Okay. Say 5 years ago, yeah, the internet was great, but now it's not. The internet now, you can't find what you're looking for, and what you want to say, they don't want you to say. So you might think you're making 10 steps forward, but you're actually taking 10 steps backward, because they're not allowing us to get our information out. See, so it started out good, but once they got in there, it just got really bad. And now that it's horrible now, because they won't let us have our say now.
You're right. Right now, we can still spread good information, but it usually has to be we send it to somebody or we give them the link directly. Because if you just go into the search engine to find things, it's going to be really hard to find certain information. You're absolutely right. So it's cat and mouse game. We're constantly, you know, fighting this battle. I don't know what we can do about it, but we just carry on.
Y'all, before we go to the break, we'll be going to the break pretty soon. I've got something. I've been talking back and forth with my brother Rich. I said, I know it's a fairy tale wish to have, but I was wishing like in a dream about your dream about, you know, sugar candy or stuff for a kid, that Putin would go all the way through to Ukraine, go on to Poland, into Germany, and go in and free our German brothers and sisters there from the communist Jews that have them in slavery there. And, you know, Rich said that Putin's no angel. He's not a white nationalist. He says, I thought, well, maybe he was, but he is, however, a Russian nationalist. But here's what I want to ask y'all to be thinking about when we come back. Could Putin and what he's done, is it possible, dear Lord, maybe we could pray for it, that Putin's successor could be a white nationalist and could drive in through Poland into Germany and free up our white German sisters and brothers, like y'all referenced earlier when Hitler rescued the Germans that corridor, that I forget the name of that corridor, and the way Putin's come into Ukraine to rescue the Russians there. I guess that's a pipe dream, but maybe y'all can think about that coming back from the second hour. But anyway, I'll shut up and go back to y'all. We'll be going to a break any second, but go ahead.
That's not a military solution, because the German people have been brainwashed to hate themselves.
That's a perfect answer.
Right kind of leader. Maybe the right kind of leader could inspire them. After all, when they asked Hitler, how did he think he was going to ever rescue these people when he came to power, because they were such a wreck? He said, I didn't see what they were. I saw what the German people could be under the right leadership. People, we'll be right back. Let's break. We're transitioning to the second hour. Be right back.